The first reading is from Ezekiel 36, beginning in the 24th verse. I will take you from the mountains and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rule. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. The word of the Lord.
Our second reading comes from 1 John 4, beginning in the 7th verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, we have not loved God, but he has loved us and sent his Son to the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us the Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. The Word of God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. And when Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then, as your Lord and teacher, I have washed your feet, you have also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, and if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this gift that you give to us, to be able to come before you and have our ears opened and our hearts opened by the grace of your Holy Spirit, that your word come alive and that new life be poured into our hearts, that we might behold the beauty of your Son and know he is not only the Savior of the world, he is the Savior of each of us, personally, intimately. And that you've placed us in a family that we might love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Would you give us the grace of your Holy Spirit this morning? Would you bring understanding to us? Would you take some of the things that are pressuring us and the things that are weighing hard upon us? Can we just lift them to you so that we might come to you and hear from you? And we ask this grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning again. We are doing a series these weeks before we come to Pentecost, which is in early June this year. And a lot of times we prepare for Christmas and we prepare for Easter, but I'm not sure how often we prepare for Pentecost. There's a passage that Jesus speaks to us. It's found in John 14. He says these words in John 14, verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans." In other words, we're not to live this life on our own strength and our own power. The Father, because of what the Son has done, is sending God the Holy Spirit to dwell with us and to dwell in us. We are not orphans. And so we tend to, oh yes we do, we tend to go to our default and live, rely, and depend on our own strength, our own wisdom, our own resources, to handle whatever life has for us. But in fact, God's purpose and plan is for us to live according to his strength. And he has given us the Holy Spirit to do that. And I want to continue to talk about this. When Jesus was ascending to the Father, before he ascended to his Father, he told his disciples, one of the last things he told his disciples is found in Luke chapter 24. He said these words to them, "I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city, stay in Jerusalem, until you are clothed with power from on high." And again, in the Acts of the Apostles, he says to his disciples, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He didn't want them to go out and to leave and to be church in their own strength. He said, wait until the Pentecost power of the Holy Spirit comes down upon you. Now, when that happens in the church over these years, we've called that ordination. It's the movement, the action of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. And how many of you know that when Pentecost came, he didn't come upon the cute, the wise, and the best? Because if that was true, I don't think any of us would have gotten anything. But what he did is he came on all. That's the beauty about Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, he says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. When Peter stands up and preaches on Pentecost Day, he quotes from the prophet Joel. And this is so beautiful. He says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your male servants, your female servants." Everybody. Those who are brilliant and those who are not. Those who are young, who are 6 and 8 years old. Those who are 95 and 98 years old. It is comprehensive. It is without partiality. We are all to receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? So when I'm so glad, because there are so many who don't. Anyway, so here's the point, though, is that what he does is when he fills us, he places us in the body of Christ. That's what he does. He puts us into family. And then what he does is he gives each of us gifts of the Holy Spirit, manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I love this. It's listed, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, different places in New Testament, Romans 12, etc. But I just want you to hear this, because what he says is, to each, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each, again, verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. He has gifts for you. How many of you want to know that the Holy Spirit has got a gift for you? How many of you want to step into that gift he's got for you? How many of you know this is not about, this is what church does. This is not about volunteerism. This is about stepping in to be who God has made you to be. So consequently, pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, elders, deacons, bishops, all of the elders of the church are designed to equip you to be who God has made you to be. So that when you receive the gifting of the Holy Spirit, you can actually build each other up. We can actually build one another up and strengthen one another. We can actually not only do that in the body of Christ, but go out and impact our world and build each other up. Build the people outside. Build the family. Build our friends. Build those we see. Build people up. Now, I say all this by saying that's how God designed the church. That's how he designed us. And that's why, for me, I want to give you a verse of scripture today, and I want actually for us to say it out loud. It's Romans 5:5. I call this the divine intravenous hookup. It's the IV hookup. Listen to this. Say it with me. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. Did you see that? How many of you know it doesn't say that the love of God is supposed to be derivative inside us? It actually comes from him. The love of God poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Now this is, did you get that? Wait. Listen to this. This is just incredible. Do you remember Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another as I've loved you? Remember he said, by this all people are going to know you're my disciples if you love one another. How many of you think loving one another is easy? But how many of you know when the love of God comes into our heart, we've got the resource to love each other? Does that make sense? This is the IV hookup. It's IV. Have you ever had an IV? You know what I'm talking about? Just go to the ER today. You'll find out all about it. It's just the first thing they do. They don't care about anything. Boom, they put something in your veins. And why is that? Because they want to bring nutrients to the body of Christ. This is the most powerful verse. That's called Pentecost. It's not that we in our own resource love one another. We've been given the love to us into our hearts, the power to love one another as Christ has loved us. Meaning that we can love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. It comes from him to us by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. And we can love one another. We can love one another with the love of God given to us. So having said all that and realizing that it's possible, can I tell you what the devil's desire is for the church? It is so simple. It is so simple. What he does is so simple. Here it is. Guess what he does? Guess what he does? He disconnects us from the love of God into the heart. That's what he does. His job is to get the IV out. And that's why so many pastors don't talk about Pentecost. Why? The devil doesn't want us to hear about this. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit. We don't talk about Pentecost. How is that possible? Why does that happen? And what ends up happening is that we begin to preach, if that hookup isn't there, and that we have to love one another from our own resource, then what we're doing here is preaching moralism. That's what it is. It's just moralism. So the pastor gets up, and the pastor says, we're supposed to love one another. The way it's said sometimes is that, and this is how it's heard sometimes, In the passage we heard read from 1 John in chapter 4, it's stated like this: Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If God so loved us, he sent his son. If God so loved us, he made him a propitiation for our sins. He saved us from the wrath of, if he loved us that much, you ought to love one another. You ought to. And then we come to the Gospel of John. If Jesus washed our feet, we ought to wash one another's feet. We ought to. And what ends up happening is we try the best we can, and what we find is that we fail. We tend to love the people that we love and not love the people we don't love. We tend to love the ones that look like us, talk like us, the people we like to associate with. We tend to love the ones we love the best. Am I wrong about that? Because it's coming from a natural resource. See, what the devil wants to do is disconnect us from the Pentecost power, the love of God coming into the heart by the person, by the power of the Holy Spirit into our life, that we might make a difference in this world. But the world around us, they laugh at us when we talk about this. Why? Because look at the church today. Are we not a broken people? Scattered into thousands of different denominations? It's confusing. People don't understand. They don't understand. If you say you love one another, but you can't stand each other, do you love each other? So we go to this church or that church, and suddenly you have a church split that happens, and the infighting. And now, in our day, do we not have on the front page of our social feeds, every single time there's a scandal in the church? Scandal in the church. And now they're saying the new generation coming up, they don't believe in the institutional church. They don't believe in church. The new generation's not going to church. Well, why? Because the point is this: if we are church disconnected from the power of Jesus come into our life, why go? Because all it has been is a series of failures after failures after failures. And the hardest part is when our pastors get up and they tell everybody we're supposed to love one another. And the next thing you know, they're on the front page of the paper for something horrendous that they've done. So here's the point of it. Is this real or not real? Is Jesus Lord or is he not Lord? Is the church real or is the church not real? You see what the devil does? He wants to confuse us. So again, I say to you, a lot of what the church, and I've said this to you many times, what the church is doing in our particular day is saying, look, out with the command, love one another. What we want to do is entertain everybody, get everybody in, tell them about Jesus, have them be saved and go. So nobody has to love one another. Nobody has to love one another. Nobody has to care for one another. But can I just tell you this? It is the heart of the Father that the church be the church. That we be community. Love matters to him. Why? Because he's love. God is love. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in perfect communion. God is love. And he's demonstrated that love by giving us his Son. He has demonstrated his love for us that we might not only know that love, but experience that love. And not just experience that love, but let the Holy Spirit come down and fill our hearts with that love. Is that something that you want? Is that something available to us? See, the point is this: if we do it on our own and we mess up, and then we say, well, God's messed up and the church is messed up, my sense is this: the devil wins the story. I don't think he should win the story. This generation coming up need to know the love of God desperately. They're lost. They're in chaos. They're growing up with confusion everywhere. Gender confusion, sexual confusion, political confusion, social confusion. They don't know what to do. And they look at the church and we are divided. Now, my friends, all I can say to you is this. I don't need to try to fix the church. All I need to do is do what I always do. We need an IV hookup from heaven. We need to have, oh my goodness, we need Pentecost to come. And if, in fact, everything is true, then don't you believe that the Father, because of what Jesus did for us, wants to send the Holy Spirit upon you? No matter where you are in life, he wants to send the Holy Spirit upon you, that you might experience and know a contagious love of God the Father, in God the Son, empowering us by God the Holy Spirit to love one another well. What do you think? That, my friends, is called the church. That's called real church. So here's the key behind it. Don't you think for a minute that we just found this in New Testament, that the prophet Ezekiel was moved by the Holy Spirit to talk about the day coming when Messiah would arrive and when Messiah would do what he would do. When Jesus would come, when Jesus would save us, he describes in detail what's going to happen. Let me just repeat it to you. Number one, this is Ezekiel chapter 36. This is Old Testament. This is way before Bethlehem. This is way before Jesus actually arrived on the scene. Listen to this. He said this, verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. From all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart. Did you hear that? It's not like the old heart is supposed to get it right. It's the old, this is basically divine surgery going on here. Listen to how it's said. I love this piece. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll remove the heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you my heart. That's called surgery. That isn't trying to modify or to try to be better or act better or do better. That's moralism. No, no. This is a complete change from within. He wants to do something from within us. He wants us to have a new heart. And then after he says that, listen to what he says. And I will put a new spirit within you. I will put my spirit within you. That's the promise that one day what he's going to do. This is, by the way, what Jesus meant by saying, you'll be born again in Christ. He wants us to receive Jesus, to come to new life in him. And when we come to new life in him, and that love touches this old stone heart, we get a new heart. And you know it. This is the joy of being a Christian. It is not just simply following rules. It's the love of God coming into our hearts. And when he does, he puts a new spirit in us. And then listen to what it says. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes. So you can be careful to obey my rules. I'm going to give you everything that you need to do what I've called you to do. I'm going to give you the love of God that you can love others. I'm going to give you the love of God that you might love me. I'm going to give you the love of God that you might love those out there who just need to touch and feel and hear God loves them. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to pour it into your heart. Let me give it a visual for you, because some of you are staring at me. How many of you remember the Flintstones? There's three of you. So it was a cartoon. How many of you remember their car? Did you love their car? Did you love their car? And the surprise is their feet go down, and they begin to... the car moves because of their feet. And there, I can't tell you how many times, to me, that's a description of the church. It's just real stupid. I mean, here's a clue. Get an engine, go to the gas station, fill it up with a power that comes into the car, turn the sucker on, boom, you're gone, you're out of here. And sometimes that's exactly what I feel like doing with the church. Hey, friends, and with every single Christian, every single person in the church matters. He doesn't want us running on our own steam. He wants to give us the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants to do. I cannot tell you how many pastors I deal with who say to me they're exhausted. They're exhausted. And every time they tell me that, I go, I am so happy for you. They're like, no, I'm exhausted. I said, lovely, perfect. Now, here it is. Stop doing it in your own strength. Stop doing it in your own power. You weren't designed to do this in your own power, to please God, to please others, and to be who God called you to be. He wants to fill you with his spirit that you might rely upon him to change the world, to change your family, to change your heart. When we begin to rely on the person of God, the Holy Spirit, all things begin to shift and all things begin to change. And we begin to learn how to love one another. This is the problem today, because what's happening with our churches is that we're actually catering to a world of people who think that everything spins around them. Everything's about me. Everybody point to me. Everybody look at me. Everybody satisfy my needs. I go to a church that cares for me. I go to a church that cares for my needs. That's why I go. That's exactly why I go. And when I don't want to go, I don't want to go, because to be honest, I don't want to go. And then I'll go. I'll go when I want to go. Go get. And when I get what I got, I love it, whatever, then I'm gone. And it's just fascinating. And so the church is just that. It's just this constant sense of individuals coming in with private religion, getting what they want and going. How many of you know that that's not... It's really hard to love one another when we're not around each other. When this church began, when Christ Church began, can I just tell you how it started? You all know this. This is the story. I got to be there in 2005 from a distance. But this church began with the word connect. To be able to connect, that IV hookup, connect with Jesus, connect with each other, so that we can connect with what God is doing in the world around us. Connect. That was the whole point of it. Now, this is the funny thing about it. If you don't know the history of Christ Church, this is the funny thing about it. In the early days, that word was really essential. So when you came to be a member of this family, when you came to be a member of Christ Church family, guess what? You were placed in a home group, in a life group. You were placed in a life group from day one. Guess what? You've got a life group. They're meeting on Tuesdays, and you're part of it. Mandatory. I love mandatory. I mean, I wish we could do mandatory more often. It was mandatory. You belong somewhere. And I remember that I'm not going to name the couple, although I want to. There's a couple here. They came into church the first time, and they're like, you belong to a home group. You're going to go love one another. And they're like, I am going to find a new church. It's just, nobody man. I'm not going to mandatory. I just want to do a Sunday and gone. Sunday and gone. That's all I want. Sunday and gone. So they tried it. They actually tried being together. And guess what? They're still here. Over time, the mandatory kind of became optional. And over time, Sunday mornings became everything, and the kind of the life groups began to diminish and began to be less important, and some got real small and some got real big, and it just kind of got uncared for, and now they're just kind of there, and they're just kind of existing right this moment. In the old days, it was a place for fellowship, for the Bible, for prayer, and food. Food. I should have said food first, but anyway, it's food, and it was. And then the thing is amazing is that when somebody new came in, they became part of it. So somebody coming in from the outside would feel, there's a family here, and I belong to a family. Felt like you actually had family around you. And during those early days, every life group and home group would take up, some would be hospitality 1 month, and some would be kitchen 1 month, and some would take care of the nursery 1 month. I mean, everybody did different things. And then they would sometimes do mission outside, and they began to flourish, because there's something to be said about the fact that we love one another, and that we connect with one another. My own just personal testimony is I cheated when I came here, because first of all, I've always known this family as a loving family, and I've been here 6 months, and I've got to tell you, it is so true. This is a loving family. Am I right about that? Yeah. So I came here, and I cheated. I'm just going to tell you out right now, I cheated. I'll tell you how I cheated. It's just so simple. I'm just simple. I started Wednesday night, 6:30, 7:30. We're going to pray for our new pastor. 6:30, 7:30, from November till May, every Wednesday night we meet to actually pray for our new pastor. We're praying for our new pastor. We're praying for this church. We're praying for every family. We're praying for those who are sick. We're praying for the needs in the life of this community, and we're praying for the people of Prince Creek that the Lord would bless this church. But I have to tell you a secret. We start with worship. We have a little time in the scriptures. We have time to pray. We have time for fellowship. But what's happened is, it's like for me, it's like a life group for me. Because last Wednesday night, what we heard were testimonies of what the Lord is doing. We heard people who don't yet have a testimony. So there were three people we just laid hands on and prayed over. Two that are having doctor appointments this week and just need care and need prayer. And so we've been praying for them. Because that's what we do. We come alongside and we lift each other up, do we not? That's what we do. But you see, for me, there are some Wednesdays I have a day so full and so crammed that I come in here limping. I'm like, I don't want to be here. Just saying. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. You know all this stuff. Everybody says it. Everybody's tired today. I come in here just kind of, it's a long day. I can't tell you. I leave here so refreshed because I hear the testimony of Jesus in the lives of others. I'm seeing what the Lord is doing in the lives of others. We weren't designed to be just a Sunday church. We're designed to be a community of faith. So we open our homes. I don't know how, I don't know when, but that's what we do. And I know I can't do anything just because we're waiting for our new pastor. So I went to the leadership team and I went to the search team and I asked them the question, when the new pastor comes, will it matter that we belong to one another? Will it matter to have our life groups restored? Will it, not mandatory, don't get afraid. But rather that we believe in Pentecost, that we believe that the Holy Spirit has called all of us, that each person matters, that we come alongside each person. And when somebody new comes in, they're our family. And we're going to come alongside when somebody's in testing and somebody's in trial. We're going to pray for them. Or is this a consumer church? I keep going back to that. Or are we just coming to get to go? See, the thing is that I think what the Lord wants to do is hook us up with the power of the Holy Spirit. We might really love one another. Because if the church all the more loves one another, how much more will we be contagious to the community that the Lord's put us in? So that we see somebody out there and they're hurting and they've got some medical issue, you gotta come to our home. You gotta come to Wednesday nights. You gotta come to Sunday mornings. We wanna pray with you. We wanna come alongside you because that's what we do. the love of God poured into the heart by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us, and he changes all things. And that's why I get to love you, but I don't have to go on the resource of me. You have to love me. I love this part. But you don't have to rely on your own heart to do it, because you got a new heart. The Holy Spirit wants to touch you and fill you with Pentecost power to be everything God has made you to be. Because in the church of Jesus Christ, every single person matters.